Welcome, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is for any time, actually, but especially for the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Scripture notes from the book of Vayikra, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the book of the Revelation, all coming up here. And there's many activities, of course, that are going on other than on this very eventful high day. A commanded convocation when we are all invited, all the believers and then some are invited to come in into the presence of Yahweh, as it were, into his throne room and praise him on this wonderful day, Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. I am yours truly, Stefan Yah, from the Yahweh Ministry, and here in Leviticus, or Vayikra, chapter 23. And as we begin at 33, and I'd like to read now from the Tree of Life version, and also from the King James with the necessary corrections to back to what the original Hebrew would and did have and does have. So here in verse 33, Yahweh, not Adonai, but Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to the B'nai Yisrael and say, on the 15th day of this seventh month is the Feast of Sukkot, for 7 days to Yahweh. On the first day there is to be a separated convocation. You are to do no servile work. For 7 days you are to bring an offering by fire to Yahweh. The eighth day will be a pure convocation to you, and you are to bring an offering by fire to Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly. You should do no laborious servile work, or to the conservatives and Orthodox, absolutely no work on the high day. These are the Moedim of Yahweh, which you are to proclaim to be pure convocations, to present an offering by fire to Yahweh, a burnt offering, a grain offering, a sacrifice, and drink offerings, each in its own day. Besides those of the Shabbat of Yahweh, and besides your gifts, all your vows, and all your freewill offerings, which you are to give to Yahweh." Now, by the way, these Levitical temple sacrifices were the added law. They were a penalty. So as far as bringing the burnt offering and grain offering and drink offerings, we do not, according to the book of Hebrews 8, 9, 10, especially chapter 9, we do not do this any longer. And Yahweh's son, the Messiah, is the offering. We continue now on Leviticus 23:39. We'll read together. "So on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you are to keep the feast of Yahweh for 7 days. The first day is to be a Shabbat rest, and the eighth day will also be a Shabbat rest. On the first day you're to take choice fruit of trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and rejoice before Yahweh, your Elohim, for 7 days. And that, of course, we are doing here, right? If we have as many as we are able to gather in the lulav to wave before Yahweh, and not necessarily in any direction, Yahweh can see our praise offerings, and that we are here. We have appeared before Yahweh and come up to this feast." So in verse 41 now, "You're to celebrate it as a festival to Yahweh for 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever throughout your generations. You're to celebrate it in the seventh month. You're to live in Sukkot for 7 days. All the native born in Yisrael are to live in Sukkot, so that your generations may remember or know that I am B'nai Yisrael, that I had B'nai Yisrael, rather, to dwell in Sukkot when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, or more properly, Mitzrayim. I am Yahweh your Elohim." So Moses declared to B'nai Yisrael the Moedim of Yahweh. And the next scripture verse will be in Deuteronomy, or Devarim, And I think it's 17 now. You can look at the scripture notes on the website at yahweh.name. Deuteronomy 16:13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And we'll be reading from the Tree of Life here in just a second. As soon as my wife finds that passage, it's 16:13. And just through about verse 17, I think, on this great feast day that symbolizes the thousand-year millennium, the second coming of Yahweh. This is great prophetic significance for all of us. We are so excited. So it says in 16:13, you are to keep the Feast of Sukkot for 7 days after gathering in the produce from your threshing floor and wine press. So you will rejoice in your feast, you and your son and daughter, slave and maid, Levite and outsider, orphan and widow within your gates. Actually, the word slave was improperly translated there. Should be servant. It's one who voluntarily will submit and make a certain covenant or working condition with the landowner. Okay, 7 days you will feast to Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place he chooses, because Yahweh, your Elohim, will bless you and all your produce, and in the work of your hand, and you will completely be filled with joy. 3 times a year, all your males are to appear before Yahweh, and we read earlier in Leviticus that it would be everyone, not just men here, but here's the commandment, paramount commandment above all. At the minimum, all your males are to appear before Yahweh, your Elohim, in the place he chooses, at the Feast of Matzot, at the Feast of Shavuot. So Matzot is Passover, Shavuot is Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, or First Fruits. So Matzot, Shavuot, and the Feast of Sukkot. No one shall appear before Yahweh empty-handed. The gift of each man's hand, according to the blessing Yahweh has given you. So that is the reading there, the Torah reading from Devarim 16 on this feast day. And yes, certainly we are to rejoice before Yahweh and bring willingly that offering. It's a special offering that we bring up to these three feast days, in addition to our regular tithe offerings, and in addition to the second tithe. The second tithe provides for the feast days. And now, brethren and sister, we are about 8 minutes into this sermon time so far. Book of the Revelation, chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading primarily here from the King James, making the necessary corrections back to the original. The original underlying text, or what should have been there. If it says L-O-R-D, then it's wrong. We know this through our research. Very simply, we can research the word Lord. And there are a lot of wild animals out there in the forest we hear right now, at least in our imagination there. Revelation 5, verse 8, or excuse me, verse 5 would be the best place to start for now. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, don't weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Verse 5, 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb that represents the Messiah. And that's his title here, is the Lamb. That's the Messiah. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to Yahweh by thy own blood out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation, and hast made us unto Yahweh kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then in the next verse, reigning on the new earth, and you. So now we are in the book of the Revelation, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And that's too far. And to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to Yahweh by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our Elohim kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, or more properly, many messengers around the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory, or splendor, actually, and splendor and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, so those that are under the earth, meaning the dead, and those that are dead in the sea, and all them that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and splendor and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Hallel, or it is written, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him, or praised him that liveth forever and ever. He that liveth forever and ever. So that was Revelation 5. Now let's go to chapter 11 of the book of the Revelation of Yochanan. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh messenger sounded, and there was great voices, or there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh, and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before Elohim on their seats fell on their faces and worshipped or praised Yahweh, saying, We give thee thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, or which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power, taken to thee thy great power, and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of Elohim was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. So, such symbolic language there in Revelation chapter 11. And next we'll be going to chapter 19 of the Revelation on this wonderful first high day, as it's symbolic of the actual time soon to come in the millennium, and also the Feast of Trumpets, of course, that we celebrated 10 days ago. The Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and now the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And we praise him and give him thanks for all these special blessings that we are being given and bestowed upon. Hallel Yahweh, that he has chosen us to come before him, called up to come up to Jerusalem, or as it were, in this present age, all of us coming up as one tabernacle to the throne room of Yahweh, symbolically speaking, but soon, as the 1 Corinthians says, 1 Corinthians 15, that we shall be in his presence, literally, forever and ever. So this is just a dress rehearsal, gentlemen and ladies, so let us be properly dressed and get ready. get our act ready, not only the act, but all the actions ready and in order, get our thinking straight, get our attitude and all things extraneous out of our mind, you know, all the details, the domestic things and all that stuff. We're not going to have to worry about that in eternity. In fact, as the theme of this feast is heaven real, that that there's not supposed to be all these you know, human problems and computer problems and personality problems like there are here on this present earth before Yahweh comes. We're ready with Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, much people saying, Hallel Yahweh, salvation and splendor and honor and power unto Yahweh our Elohim, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallel Yahweh, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped Yahweh, or Elohim, that sat on the throne, saying, Hallel Yahweh, or Amin, Hallel Yahweh. Now a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our Elohim, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallel Yahweh, for Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. Yahweh Elohim, all-powerful, or omnipotent, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who is the wife? That's us. That's the bride of Messiah. The marriage of the Lamb is come. Yes, and we did not reject his invitation. The betrothed bride, Yahweh's bride, or Israel, or you know, those who are grafted into the good olive tree, will not resist him. We'll make ourselves ready, and we will not you know, come up with a rebellious spirit of any kind, or reticent. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, or represents the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh, or Elohim, true sayings of Elohim. This is also reflected in Zechariah, or Zechariah 14, in the Old Testament, about this this great marriage supper. It's Messiah talked about it himself while he was on earth, and talked about you know, who has their wedding garment here, who is ready. Yes, we'll go to Zechariah in a moment, but first of all, I want to finish up in Revelation chapter 20 for now, and it's just verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua the Messiah, for the word of Elohim, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection, or this will be. The word this is, that verb there was added to make sense. So this the first resurrection, is what we're talking about. Blessed and pure, he that has part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests. So you shall be priests and priestesses of Elohim and of Messiah, and you shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then after that, of course, the government of his government, there shall be no end. So now we're getting ready to go to Zechariah chapter 14, and that's one of the so-called minor prophets here in the so-called Older Testament. Older, or so-called Old Testament, I guess. I call it the older one. They're both old. Okay. Zechariah 14. And let's see what happened. There it is. Oh, this is like a giant seminar. It's better than any church camp, and better than any tent revival. This is Yahweh's convocation, the Feast of Tabernacles. So it says, Zechariah 14:16, it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Sovereign Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that would be Sukkot in Hebrew. And it shall be that whosoever will not agree to come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, or Yahweh of armies, even unto them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that they have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, yes, this is still prophetic. This hasn't happened. And it will. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's many today who would say, I will not go up. So apparently they'll be in this herd of people. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses pureness unto Yahweh. And the pots or the sacrifices in Yahweh's house shall be like the bulls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be pureness unto Yahweh of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of Yahweh of hosts. No more Canaanite. And that's the reading there, Zechariah 14. And yes, as we are planning for the Feast of Tabernacles this year, and this year, I don't want to say which, because you could use this any time, but we are planning, and there became all these complications, and then cancellations, and then someone took the camp near the end of the feast, and so we had to make, some changes there. But I'm thinking that in paradise with Yahweh and that new Jerusalem, we're not going to have all of these complications and having to reschedule and worry, you know, over that. There will be totally secure. We'll be confident. We'll have that assurance, secureness, confidence, and assurance, and delight, and an expectation as well, that Yahweh is going to do this feast. He's going to have us a new Jerusalem. He definitely will do that. 100% guaranteed that you're going to be there if you abide in Him. Right, and He will keep you until that day, as that's guaranteed in Scripture, that He's going to keep you, and you have this guarantee of the Spirit. So, even though it is possible, of course, to backslide, and possibly even to lose your salvation, but that wouldn't be for this bunch of people here, this great bunch of sisters and brothers gathered in Yahweh today, offering our sacrifice, a living sacrifice, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh. It is our reasonable service to offer our bodies unto Him. That's found in Romans 12, by the way. So we move into a Psalm, or Tehillim, chapter 97, or the 97th Psalm, and reading all of that. And hope you're comfortable, and if there is anything that you're lacking, anything that's missing here that you really need to have, then let the ushers know. Let someone know what's going on. There's got to be somebody here. Please be courteous and gentle and polite enough to help those, especially in wheelchairs or whatever, those who can't get around or the aged, to make them feel at home. And so show true Yahweh hospitality always, but paramount here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And let us walk in the Spirit together. This isn't a mechanical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's even a act of love unto Yahweh and unto our brethren to dwell together in unity and to go up from year to year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and the three feasts. We keep all seven, of course. All seven feast days are to be kept, but there's three traveling ones. Psalm 97, verse 1. Yahweh reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. So that's clouds and darkness, righteousness and judgment. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of Yahweh of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his splendor. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols, but worship him, all you Elohim, or kings, worship him, that is, worship Yahweh. Zion heard and was glad. And, you know, the term representing all Israel, Zion as a whole, the brethren in unity, rich and poor, of all the saved people. And the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments, O Yahweh. For thou, Yahweh, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all Elohim. You that love Yahweh, hate evil, he preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteousness, light is sown for the righteous, and gladness is sown for the upright in heart. Rejoice in Yahweh, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his being set apart, his kadosh in Hebrew, or his pureness. In English, Psalm 98 would be next, the next psalm here, or Tehillim. These are great songs and psalms for the Feast of Tabernacles. We've never done this before. There's always a first time, a new beginning with Yahweh. Psalm 98. O sing unto Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his pure arm has gotten him the victory. Yahweh has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He has openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has showed his righteousness. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Yisrael. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of Yahweh, of Elohim. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh. All the earth make a loud noise, or loud sound, and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto Yahweh with a harp, with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before Yahweh, the King. There it is, that word noise again. I should have changed, because I still am reading from the King James, but joyful sounds, not chaotic noises like you hear in the marketplace, in the merchants of the world. With trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful sound before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, and the world, they that dwell. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh, for he comes to judge the earth. He judged the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. That was Psalm 98, verse 9. Oh, his decrees, his testimonies. Then let's go to Psalm 99, and then even Psalm 100. Yahweh reigns, let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. Yahweh is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is pure. The king's strength loves judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob, or there in the land amongst all of you. Exalt Yahweh, our Elohim, and worship at his footstool, for he is pure. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them all that call upon his name. They call upon Yahweh, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. He answered them, or it says, Thou answerest them, O Yahweh our Elohim. Thou wast the Elohim that forgave them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. He took vengeance of their inventions. Exalt Yahweh our Elohim, and worship at his pure hill. For Yahweh our Elohim is pure. Praise Yahweh for that psalm, and it makes us feel like we're right here in the throne room, and I'm sure that the Father is listening to this, to our praise today, and so we want to be sober-minded and don't want to be messing around with twittering around or anything. And whoever we are, no matter how important we are, the world thinks we are, if you're the president of a great country, then we are too to be sobered, and we are in the presence of the Almighty King of Kings, the King of all. Some people have called themselves kings or rex or different titles, but they really don't deserve that. There is the King of rock and roll, but that is, we're taking that word king and not using it in a very reverent way. I think we do need to, according to the book of James, pure and undefiled religion is this, the care and feeding of orphans and keeping ourselves unspotted from the world. So we do need to be in a sober attitude of praise in his presence in the throne room. And that's not, the altar up there is not it's not just a platform or a stage. It's not a stage. It's that should be called the altar. We should make a set apart thing about it, a reverence for Yahweh's house. That we, Yahweh dwells in your temple, in your body, but he also dwells here literally amongst all of us. Corporately, we worship and we praise him, and we lift up our voices, our name, we don't lift up our name, we lift up our ourselves unto him in this house together, corporately, as we praise him today. Almighty Yahweh. And when we leave, when we go home and say bye-bye to everybody and shalom, and shalom, my friends, shalom, shalom, till we meet again, that will also be, a continuance of the Feast of Tabernacles as we go out and go to our separate secular places, of course, to our homes that are blessed, to our land, which we have prayed for and blessed. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful sound unto Yahweh, all you lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that Yahweh, he is Elohim. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For Yahweh is good. There could have been a better English translation for that, but Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Found that in Psalm 100. And now we are going to realize what's going to happen here in just a short time when we go up and Yahweh calls us. We should have, I know back in the Feast of Trumpets we had Thessalonians, so we should have that reading, or at least the one I quoted there, or tried to paraphrase from 1 Corinthians, but 15, but let's see, Thessalonians, I think is that classic one there. Let's see, pray without ceasing. Where is the one about going up to the, here it is, that's right. That is correct. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, before we get into Isaiah. 1 Thessalonians 4. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are sleeping, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. But if we believe that Messiah died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Messiah will Yahweh bring with him. See also Philippians 1:21. For this we say unto you by the word of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yahweh shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel or messenger, and with the trump of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah first shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so that we'll be literally all caught up together with him, and not before, not when we die, unless it's at this time, this second coming of Messiah. We'll caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahweh in the air, and so shall we ever be with Yahweh. Now, we don't go up to heaven and then come back down and then get our bodies and then go up again. There's not a third coming, but that is what I understand. And if somebody believes in the pre-trib rapture, then they can go right ahead and believe it. But anyway, I believe in 1 Thessalonians and all the other scriptures that talk about this. And Isaiah 4 is next here on the first day. And looks like we're going to be here for, hour 15 or so today on this feast. So that's what's going to happen in that great second coming on that cloudy day when Yahweh will return for his people. And check that on our website, by the way, if you didn't get that scripture in Thessalonians. Yeshayahu chapter 4 now, verse 1, Isaiah 1, 4, 1. And then that day, seven women, that could be a symbolic there, seven women shall take hold of one man, and that could be the Messiah, taking hold of one man, saying, "We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of Yahweh be beautiful and splendid." The branch, probably symbolizing Messiah, is often referred to as the branch, and but maybe of the fig tree. "And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called pure." Or that means what the Christians say, holy. And the Hebrew says, kodesh. "Pure, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged," that's past perfect tense, "and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." So the blood and judgment and burning. "And Yahweh will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, he'll create a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the splendor shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain." So that was shared by a brother who wanted me to read that for the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if that's a direct fulfillment, or, looking forward to the Feast of Tabernacles or not, but some of it is anyway. But I don't know if we'll have to worry about heat. It says in other places in Scripture that we will not be smitten by the sun by day and so on. So it's it'll all pan out when we are there. We'll find out for sure after it has happened. No prophecy is ever fully understood until it has been completed or fulfilled, or come to pass in fullness. Isaiah 2 now, we're going to go back to chapter 2. This definitely is a end times prophecy. In chapter 2, verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of Elohim of Jacob." Jacob symbolizing all of us. "And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah," or the law, "and the word of Yahweh shall go forth from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the sight of Yahweh. Yes, praise his name forever and ever, and we're so thankful that he gives us the opportunity not only to be here and to live another day. She or he who lives to love another day will love to live another day, but we're also thankful for the gift of eternal, excellent salvation once we are fully saved, and that that has been consummated with Yahweh, that the bride has had that symbolic wedding time with Yahweh, and that marriage supper of the Lamb that we read about earlier in Revelation. Then Jeremiah, or Jeremiah, Jeremiah, Yah is a, that's the Father's name, is Yah, Jeremiah 31, in wherein we find the concept, the covenant is explained, of course, in that chapter, but we're going to read earlier, at that time, saith Yahweh, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah 31:2. Thus saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace or unmerited favor in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. Yahweh has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's that he's building our faith, our trust, our hope in him. We'll have that confidence. There will be no more of these failures and rescheduling and worried about secular things. There'll be much to be responsible for, but it won't be that stuff back there on earth, down there, thousands of miles away. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Yes, it's okay to dance in the feast, as long as that's not the focus of it all. Thou shalt you plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise you, and let us go up to Zion unto Yahweh our Elohim. For thus saith Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish, praise, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Yes, the remnant being the faithful ones. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child. A great company shall return hither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications. I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O you nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. 31:11. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of Yahweh, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. Yes, we need our soul watered by the Spirit. And they shall not sorrow any more. And that was the reading there from Jeremiah 31. And at the end of this time here together, we'll be reviewing the covenant of Yahweh. That is the new covenant that he is writing in our hearts right now. And then we'll go to the... I think we might go to that now, because if I don't, I'll forget about the covenant. So I definitely wanted to find that for you. So here it is. Lest someone forget and skip this about the new covenant. It was also in that same chapter in Jeremiah, chapter 31. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with them of their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. And they were, of course, the bride, or the betrothed one. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. And you could read the rest of that. Verse 36, especially, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh, that the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Oh, wouldn't the nations around us right now like to see that happen, that Israel would cease being a nation? But it's not going to happen because, like Paul Harvey once said, the great newsman, I know the rest of the story, and the rest of the story is written in the scriptures. Like Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel 36, chapter 22, 36, verse 22. So here it is, 36:22. But I had pity for my pure name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, wherever they went. Yes, they even changed his name to Adonai and to Lord. And look up that name, Lord. Look it up. Therefore saith unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sake. I don't do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my pure name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, wherever you went. And I'll set apart my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned, not only by your words, but by your actions, by the way, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall have set you apart in you before their eyes. 24, for I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you, I will bring you into your own land. It's not something that the ecumenical church has to do, or messianics, or anybody else. He will bring us to our own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all the idols. I will cleanse you. Now here's the heart of it. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. And then verse 36, then the burden that are left round about you, you shall know that I, Yahweh, built the ruined places, and plant that was desolate. I, Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the pure flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. Okay, and then we'll be going to Yeshayahu chapter 12. After this, so that was Ezekiel, Ezekiel 36, and this is the seventh month, the 15th day, and day one is the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We've had such a wonderful time, and it was a little bit difficult in our reservations. We wanted to get a nice Sukkot up in the mountains, and so now we're doing okay. We're fully set up, and we'll have lots of good vegetables and a lot of fruit out there. Bananas and things hanging, pomegranates hanging off the Sukkot. Hopefully, there won't be that much rain or anything. So we're going to Isaiah 12 now. Yeshayahu 12, verse 1. As this day literally will happen very, very soon, I believe. This day of Yahweh, this marriage supper of the Lamb is coming so quickly. I think it is coming in our lifetime. So here's chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And you comforts me. And, well, wait a minute. And you comfort me. Behold, Yahweh is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. In the King James, it actually says Jehovah or Yehovah with a J, but J has only been around 500 years, but they were so close. Four times they used Jehovah in the King James, and then these newer translations change things around, but also our Messianic scriptures corrected most of that, hopefully. But in any rate, we'll change it mentally and transpose those in our mind, even if the English letter, Roman letters weren't that correct. Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto Yahweh, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Pure One of Israel in the midst of thee. He is coming quickly, and chapter 14 is next, by the way. But, you know, even if some of us, first of all, make it to the grave before Yahweh gets back, it won't make any difference, because we'll blink our eyes, as it were, and then the next moment, whether it would be years later or what, a few years later, that we will open our eyes, and there he will be. We shall see him face to face. The sun in all his righteousness shall shine forever and ever, and all of his saints with him, or believers with him, we will praise him. It says in chapter 14 now of Yeshayahu, for Yahweh will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob, and the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of Yahweh for servants and for handmaidens. They shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, to serve the enemy, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how has the oppressor ceased? The golden city has ceased. Yahweh has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hinders. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be favorable unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For Yahweh is an Elohim of judgment. Blessed are they, all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very favorable, very much favor and unmerited favor unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. When he shall hear it. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thy eyes shall see thy teachers. All thine ears shall hear a word behind them, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30. Then in Tehillim 44, verse 20, and this speaks about the name of Yahuwah. It's just two verses. 44, and we've got about maybe 15 or 20 minutes left here today, and this part one of the service. If we have two services today, then we can fellowship in the time between, or you know, go out and take a short walk, not too much arduous, hard exercise or anything, no basketball playing or none of that stuff, noisy sports today, okay? And we appreciate that very much because we want a peaceful place that's good for everybody to enjoy here at the feast site. And we only do this a couple of times a year. Psalm 44:20. And we appreciate your efforts very much to have all of you to cooperation with one another, to have a little favor on one another, even a little bit of mercy and forgiveness and human kindness, a little friendliness. You know, that word means to be friendly, not to be unfriendly. In the book of Timothy there, when it says that we need to be loving one another. And Psalm 44:20 now, if we have forgotten the name of Yahweh, or rather of our Elohim, or have stretched out our hands to a strange Elohim, shall not Elohim search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. So if we have forgotten the name of Yahweh, yes, most of America, most of the world has substituted the name of Yahweh, but more than that, they've even substituted other things for his real character. His character shines out through the law, the word, the Torah, through prophecy, of course, but most of all in the Torah we see the standards, the right rulings of Yahweh. Yes, we see his decrees. The honey-do list is in the Torah. Hebrews 4 is next in the New Testament, and this has to do with that we need to walk circumspectly and always, you know, be separated unto him, walk pure and with confidence, and have a good image, a good reflection, a good good word amongst others. The word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of Yahweh is that. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Yahweh's word. If someone should criticize and say that the word of Yahweh isn't relevant, that it's been just a bunch of writings of men, how about that one? Hebrews 4, the rest chapter, and the rest chapter talks about the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Then back to Psalms for chapter 47 and 50. To the chief musician. That's Psalm 47 now. To the chief musician. A psalm for the sons of Korah. In verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. So it's okay to do that. Some churches forbid it. Clap your hands, all, and that doesn't make them all bad. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto Yahweh with a voice of triumph. For Yahweh Most High is terrible. That was probably in you know, today's English not a very good word to use, but you know, he is esteemed most high. Yahweh Most High is how about awesome? He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. Under our feet. Wow. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Selah, or rest. Yahweh, or Elohim, has gone up with a shout. Yahweh, with the sound of a trumpet. In the King James, they used God there. And in the Tree of Life, Adonai. But here we have put in the proper word. Elohim has gone up with a shout. And Yahweh, in the second place of mention here, that was in the King James as Lord. And in the original, or rather in the, we don't have any originals, but in the underlying Hebrew text is YHVH. Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to Yahweh. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For Elohim is the King of all the earth. And when it says Elohim, that's the Elohim, the Mighty One. Sing praises with understanding. Elohim reigneth over the heathen. Elohim sitteth upon the throne of his pureness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the Elohim are of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto Elohim. He is greatly exalted. By the way, the spelling of that in English could be with a Y. It's not E-L as an L, a pagan goddess, but it's Elohim, if you would pronounce the E-Elohim. So that comes out there. Those of you Hebrew scholars know what I mean. In Psalm 50, so we're leaving Psalm 47 now, and it's a psalm of Asaph, and it's verse 1 through the whole chapter, through the whole psalm. Verse 6, 1 through 6, the mighty Elohim, even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. I wonder if that shouldn't have been reversed there, from the going down of the sun to the going down of the sun, from day, you know, beginning of the day to the end, sundown to sundown. But anyway, we have that concept written here in English, and I don't know the answer to that. But you know, some Sabbath keepers even keep the Sabbath that way, when the sun up, but like the world does. I don't know. I don't know. This be my only remark there. Verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim has shined. Elohim shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Him, it should have been capitalized. That pronoun there should have a capital H. Around him, and tempestuous around about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is judge himself. Oh, okay. And that's Psalm 50, and then to Numbers 29, finally. And remember that the Psalms, or rather Numbers 29, I don't know what I said there, Numbers 29, 12, but remember that the sacrifices were part of the added law that were added due to transgressions. And you could read Ezekiel 20:25 talks about the added law, and Jeremiah, I think it's 7:14, that these laws were given due to sin, the laws of sacrifices. Then Messiah died on the tree at Calvary, taking away the need any longer for a Levitical priest to offer for you the animals once a year, and even daily there were offerings of the animals. 29:12, Bamidbar, and on the 15th day of the month, so that's today, the first high day, you shall have a pure convocation. So we can't just go to in a corner in a room by ourselves necessarily, unless that's the only one left. If you were every man, how does that say, under the fig tree? Every man sitting under his fig tree. Maybe it would be that we'll come down to that. That so many have fallen away or died off or were persecuted, that it would only be one or two of us gathered together in his name. You shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work. And that doesn't mean you can go out and just do anything. And you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. And then it talks about each of the days there through the seventh day. And even the last great day of all the sacrifices, the Levitical temple sacrifices that were added, the schoolmaster that were to bring us to Messiah. Okay, Numbers 29 now, and verse 39, so jump up about 27 verses to 29:39. These things you shall do unto Yahweh in your set feasts, beside your vows and your freewill offerings. So these things, meaning everything that we've read, for your burnt offerings and for your meat offerings and for your drink offerings and for your peace offerings. And some of those offerings will be maintained in the millennium. Moses told the children of Israel according to all that Yahweh commanded Moshe. Moses had given this to all the children of Israel. Then, all right, let's jump up now to really getting close. Revelation chapter 4. And we have just succeeded in running over an hour. And it's running along smoothly here so far. All the equipment so far. And my engineer, Sam Transistor Head, is doing a good job in there somewhere inside that PC. Praise Yahweh. Revelation 4, verse 1. Let's see what happened here. At this time, that this feast symbolizes, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you these things which must be hereafter. John speaking. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set up in heaven, and one sat, or rather a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders seated, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh. And the seven lamps represented the seven spirits. You might say the seven assemblies. And then I lost my place. Let's see. Okay. And verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of a throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle full of eyes within. And they rest night and day, saying, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which was and is to come. Kadosh means pure. And when those hearts, or rather, when those beasts give esteem and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and praised him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive esteem and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So that's just a little parenthetical scriptures for you from the book of the Revelation there in chapter 4. Then Ezekiel 40, verse 1, and the 25th year, or the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of Yahweh was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of Elohim, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate, and the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee. And then it's the illustration of building Yahweh's house. Now, John chapter 4. Ezekiel 40 and verse 2, just one thing I want to bring out about the appearance of Yahweh in the heavens, the King of Kings. In the visions of Elohim, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was as the frame of a city on the south. Verse 3, and he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, like a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. So that's all I wanted to read there, Ezekiel 40, verse 3. Then in Yochanan, or John 4, verse 20, hope you'll pick this up here. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Yahusha, the Messiah, said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Elohim is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a brother, a teacher on the internet, who had a real problem with the word worship, and I often change that to praise, because he may be right. He may be right about that word, worship. But anyway, we'll continue to use it unless opportunity is given to where we can change it easily. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Messiah. When he comes, he will tell us all things. But Messiah, Yahusha, said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So to repeat that now, in John 4:25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Messiah. When he comes, he will tell us of all things. So I think I should change that to Messiah. I know that Yahusha cometh, which is called Messiah. When he is come, he will tell us of all things. And Yahusha said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Therefore the disciples, in verse 33 now, the disciples said one to another, Has any man brought him aught to eat? Yahusha said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not you that there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest? Question. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. They are white. And he that reaps receives wages, and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. So we do need to make an effort to pray for one another, and especially for the unsaved, and also pray for those who are riding the fence. We don't really know where they stand, and maybe they don't know where they stand either. So let's take a stand for Yahweh, but be sure, and whenever you have the opportunity, to say a few words in kindness to one another and to these potential sons and daughters of Yahweh, that they would be saved too. For we all need to seek Yahweh in spirit and in truth. It's all under his name, Yahweh, and it is only by his word, not by a whole bunch of other religions and scriptures that they might have, but it's only by the word of Yahweh that was given here. So we don't want to fool around and start agreeing or compromise and say that everybody has the truth, or that that everybody is universally saved. That's not scriptural. That's not true. We're not all just immediately saved when we're born. We have to follow through the steps of calling upon Yahweh, of repenting, of asking Him to write His covenant in our heart, of being washed of our sins by the blood of Messiah, of seeking eternal life through Messiah only, and by His word that we are converted. We do keep His law, of course, because He wants us to. He wants us to love Him. That's silly to believe any other way, but we must, of course, love Him and keep His commandments, because that's what He said. So I don't know. I can't really argue with that. If He said to do it, then it just seems like that's a fact. But apparently, even though it's clear, some preachers and people can deny that that's what He said. It's kind of like in the Garden of Eden, where Satan asked, has Yahweh really said this? Oh, Hebrews chapter 8 is next to wrap it up now on this wonderful first day of Sukkot. And I hope that your entire life is a beautiful, awesome gathering in, before Yahweh. And we thank Him now. Are you talking about the new covenant here in Hebrews 8 or Hebrews 8 and verse about the covenant and the law that He is writing in our hearts, the new covenant that He will make, or chapter 10, verse 16, wherever you would comfortably want to start here. You know, if you want to start at verse 1, go ahead, but we're going to pick it up at 10, verse 16 now, about Yahweh's new covenant. So if you tell yourself that you want to be a missionary and go out and convert people, well, first of all, you better learn what the covenant is. Sorry, but that's what Yahweh says. We need to learn the covenant. We also need to be immersed in the water, and all these teachings are very, very important. Well, it's all important, but there's a priority. So verse 16 now of the 10th chapter in the New Testament of Hebrews. And this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my Torah into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and in their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Abraham kept the commandments, statutes, judgments, and the charges. Genesis 26:5. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the most separated place by the blood of Messiah, by a new and living way, which He has consecrated or set apart for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, the high priest, of course, we know, is our Messiah. He's our high priest now. So, and having the high priest over us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So there is the command to be baptized, among many other places. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So much for the preacher I heard in the Berean call this morning over in Bend, Oregon, and he said that works were not allowed. It was a sin to do works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, in other words, His commandments, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Yes, there's only so many. There's only 7,000 people who have not bowed their knees to Baal. But we are assembling ourselves together and have done, and we'll do this for 8 days. The last high day will be an eighth day called the Last Great Day, the LGD, or Last Great Day, if you prefer. And it's found in the Gospels, by the way, when Messiah was keeping that feast as well. The feasts of Yahweh of the Old Testament are repeated in the New Testament 24 times, approximately. You know, if you count the Gospels and the amount of mention of Passover, it'd be more than 24 times that these feasts are kept. People say we're not under law, but under grace. We're not under that penalty of the Old Testament of the death penalty. There's no more administration of death by Moses or another representative here on earth. We're under the authority of Yahweh. Romans 8:7 says, "For we are not for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh; it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be." So we don't have carnal minds; we have converted minds and hearts. We have that that covenant. I even heard one gentleman there on that broadcast speaking about that the covenant is still applicable to us from the Old Testament even, and I didn't know where he was going to go. If he was going to go all the way with that, hopefully. I don't think he did, but I was encouraged when the gentleman, Mike Warren, I think his name was, mentioned about that the covenant is still required, and indeed, that's something. The covenant is something we covet. So we covet the law and his feast days, and it is really wonderful to be here. There's a lot going on, and maybe some on the non-high days, tomorrow, for example, the marketplace will be open for you to go in and see about buying some software, scriptures, maybe some rights. Let's see, who is it from England? No, I can't remember his name now. Steve, I knew it this morning. No, it was... Well, that's okay. I'm sure that that the information will get to you if it's that important. But there's many, many people, believers in Messiah, who've been called on by Yahweh and who know the word of Yahweh to spread the word. Steve Spikerman, that was his name, one of the gentlemen. I probably wouldn't agree with him 110%, but I think that I would agree with all the basic points, including the covenant, the blood of Messiah, baptism, all that. I think we would agree on this. And the feast days, maybe even the day of the calendar. Maybe even that. That'd be the most difficult step there, to agree on the same day. Some of us are about a day off one to another. And, well, I just don't worry about it. I'm just doing what I believe is the way that Yahweh counts time for us. And so this is the high day, I believe. So thanks a lot for being a brother or a sister. Thanks for being in fellowship with us here on Yahweh.name. The email for the pastor here is Stephan Yah, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, at Yahweh.name. And shalom, Shabbat shalom to everybody. And we'll see you at the next service. Great job. It's been a great feast. This is awesome. How you doing? Praise God. Don't ask how am I doing. How are you doing? I'm getting blessed.